I want to talk about hope. I hope that I get to stay married. I hope my wife loves me tomorrow. I love the topic of hope. Hope is just like this bright expectation about the future. It's just like something inside of you that says, yeah, tomorrow's going to be great. I have on all the tags on my email that says, the best is yet to come. Like, I love believing that the best, tomorrow, is going to be better than today. I didn't really enjoy the movie Annie, but I did like the song she sang about tomorrow. You know, the sun will come out tomorrow. I'm not going to sing it for you. No, that's not going to happen. But she said the sun will come out tomorrow, so you just got to hang on till tomorrow. All right, leave it. But she says, I love you. You're just a day away. I just like the thought about that. Like, just like tomorrow is going to be great. And that's what hope is like, something inside of you. It's optimistic about the future. Hope is this confident expectation of what is sure to come. And I want to preach about hope today because your worlds are going to collide at some point. You're going to be in this moment of like everything's great and then it's not going to be great. And you're going to have to know, how do I deal with this when these worlds collide? How do I find hope when it doesn't seem hopeful? How do I find that optimism? How do I find that way to kind of press on and endure through some of the things we go through? How do we do that? We're going to need hope. And so I just want to jump into hope today with Psalm 42:11. And the psalmist is writing this, and he says, why am I discouraged? Have you ever talked to yourself? I don't know if the psalmist is actually talking to himself now, but I believe he's at least journaling to himself. So if you're a journal, you might write out your thoughts and you might write out your feelings and what's going on in your life. And he wrote, why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Like, he's feeling something inside of him, that he's grappling with some downcast emotions. And then he does something that I think is so noteworthy. In the midst of going, why do I feel this way? He makes a deliberate choice and he goes, well, I may feel this way, but I will put my hope in God. I will put my hope in God. My hope is in God. I feel this way, but my hope is in God. I'm a little discouraged. I'm a little sad. I'm feeling hopeless. I'm feeling anxious and anxieties in my life, but I'm going to do something, and I'm going to change the way I'm thinking, and I'm going to start putting my hope in God. And then he says, I will praise him again. Just a side note, worship is one of the best ways to change the atmosphere in your life, to change yourself from discouraged to hope through praise, and he began to praise. I don't think that hope is our first and natural response to difficulties and stress. I mean, so it has to be deliberate. That's why when he wrote this out, he's like, I feel this way, and then he made a deliberate decision to place his hope in God. The best sermon that you'll preach to yourself this week is you're going to preach to yourself, I will deliberately, on purpose, in the middle of this discouragement, choose to put my hope in God. I will put my hope in God. That's what you're going to preach to yourself all week long. You're going to say, that's what I'm going to do. You're going to have something negative come into your life, and you're going to start down a path of going, why do I feel this way? And you can say, well, my feelings say this, but I choose right now to put my hope in God. The secret to a bright expectation is in whom, or the place you get your hope from. Like, we got to know where we get our hope. Biblical hope isn't wishful thinking. It's more than a little statement and more than a motto in life. We can't just be wishful hope thinking about stuff because hope has to derive from something. Hope that's wishful thinking is kind of like, hey, I know it's cloudy outside, but I hope it clears up long enough to go out on the boat. Well, I mean, you know, like, okay. You know, I mean, you're talking, but that didn't have any, like, real, you know, teeth to it. Or you're saying, hey, I've got to go to Mayfair. I live in Monkey Junction. I got to go to Mayfair. It's Friday about 3:00. I hope there's not much traffic today. Like, there's traffic. Like, your hope has nothing to work with. There's, what are you going to pull from to find that hope? Biblical hope arises from the character and the faithfulness of God in our life. That's why he said, I will put my hope in God. Let me give you a biblical definition of hope. Biblical hope is confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is in his faithfulness. The strength of our hope isn't wishy-washy, like, maybe it'll work out, maybe not. No, like, our hope has to be grounded and come out of a place of God's faithfulness and who we know him to be in our life. Like, let me illustrate it back to 30-year anniversary. Harriet and I have been together 30 years, and I can say that I have a strong certainty and a very optimistic outlook that Harriet and I are going to stay married the rest of our life. Now, this isn't based off wishful thinking. This is based off of confidence of our past history. This confident expectation that I have in our marriage is from 30 years of evidence of our faithfulness, of our ability to forgive one another, and to persevere through trials. And so with that history, with that, like, I can have a confident expectation that we're going to last. The strength is in what's happened in the past. And so when it comes to our hope in God, listen, Harriet and I, we're still going to mess it up, and there's still a chance. Like, pray not. Please pray not. Stick with me. But there's still a chance we could mess this thing up. But our hope in God is one that is in perfect love, that is in just never fails us. And so we can put a hope that is grounded and so strong based on who God is, the character of God. That's why I would say it like this. Our confidence in our future comes from our character of God. It comes from his character. And when I think about his character, there are several like things that I draw upon when I'm going through those difficult moments, when I'm feeling like my heart is discouraged and downcast and anxious, and then I begin to remind myself of the character of God. And so, you know, these are just little catchphrases that are in my head that I've just let work into my spirit. But I'll think, well, God is faithful. So whatever's going on, I know God is faithful to see me through. What God began in my life, the good work he began in my life, he is faithful to finish it in my life. He's faithful. I know God is trustworthy. He's always trustworthy. I never worry about God, you know, playing games with me. He's trustworthy. God is all powerful. Whatever the enemy may bring at me, I know God is stronger. See, these are things that you draw upon. These are the places you get hope. God is perfect and his love is perfect for me. I know that God is for me. God is for us. If God be for us, who can be against me? Like, these are not just catchphrases. These are things that get into your spirit and you live from that. We live out of our spirit. And so when we feel ourselves discouraged and we're journaling like the psalmist and he's like, man, why do I feel so discouraged today? Why do I feel so down today? Why do I feel like things aren't going to work out? Why do I feel that way? And then you can start going, but my God, I have hope in him because he is faithful to me. I know that God is near and God is forgiving and God never leaves me and God saves me. God cares for me. God delivers me. I mean, these are things that you pull on that bring hope into your life. We are hopeful because we are Christians and we are in God's family and we serve the living God. He's not just a theory. He is alive and he is in our life. He is inside of us. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us. We don't walk around as defeated people. We walk into these hard places, but we can pull from the fact that the Spirit of God is in me and he is for me and he is surrounding me. He is above me. He's below me. He's on each side of me. I don't walk in this life alone. I've got God and I'm in him. It's not that God's on my team. I'm on his team. He's so good. That's why the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:7, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. We put our hope in God. It's not wishful thinking. It's hope in God. In Hebrews 6:19, it says, this hope. Now, what hope? Not wishful thinking hope. This hope. This hope that comes from knowing God. This hope that comes from God. It says is strong and a trustworthy anchor for our souls. Anchor for our souls. This hope is an anchor. This hope in God is an anchor for our souls. So what is your soul? What is this referring to when it says an anchor to our soul? Well, as people, we are what we would call triune beings. And so meaning three parts to us. And so we have our physical bodies. This is, you know, our five senses. And this is our hair and our, you know, our feet and our shoulders and, you know, all the stuff that is visible to us. And so we have physical bodies. And so that's our first part. We have a soul. This is the inner man. This is what's inside of us. This is our mind and how we reason. And this is our emotions and how we relate to the things that happen in our life. This is the inner man. This is the soul realm. And we all have a soul realm. This is where you feel stuff on the inside. This is when you get anxious and you feel something inside. It goes from stress on the outside. Have you ever felt it on the inside too? Like there's something happening there. It's your soul realm. And then we have our spirit that is alive in Christ. When you gave your life to Christ, your spirit, the Spirit of God comes alive inside of you. So we have our outer man. We have our physical body. We have our soul. This is where we think and reason, how we process life. And then we have our spirit. Hope in God anchors or stabilizes our emotions, our soul man. Hope in God, because God's Spirit is inside of us. So we are led by the Spirit. We are to live from the Spirit, as Harriet just said. Thank you, honey, for preaching my sermon again. But she said that we should be led by our Spirit. Our Spirit leads the physical. The Spirit leads our emotions. And we are anchored by the Spirit of God and who He is in our life. Think about an anchor on a boat. So I'm not a boating person. But this, you don't really don't have to be. You could stay at a Holiday Inn Express and get this. But a boat has an anchor. And so if you were just kind of like side view of a boat, like kind of underwater, and you would see the boat above you, and then you would see the rope, and then you would see an anchor that is you know, locked firmly into a firm foundation, and it's secured there. And so when it says that it's an anchor for our soul. So he's using this illustration of an anchor. And so for a boat that is anchored, then the boat is atop. And as the winds and the currents and the waves push on the boat, the anchor holds it firm in place. And so when it's crashing above, it's secured below by the anchor. A few years ago, I had purchased a kayak. I wanted to become a kayak fisherman. And I was convinced this was going to be like my world. And I was going to, so I bought probably the nicest kayak that you can fish out of. Like, it was amazing. It was actually a little boat that just didn't have a motor. It was really heavy, but it had, you know, like place for your fishing holes, your poles to fit in. And the seat sat a little elevated so you could get a better angle on the water. And then it had all these little compartments for everything, you know, from, you know, whatever your tackle was. I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, but I needed all this stuff. You know, I had more stuff than you could imagine on this little boat. And it had a place for, you know, live bait in the back. And, I mean, it was amazing, this little kayak. And so I went out first time, went down to Fort Fisher, and I made it into the water. And I paddled across the bay there, and there's like a little river that was heading out. And I'm like, this has got to be the best place. There's going to be giant fish here, and I'm going to catch all kinds of fish. And so I kind of found this spot. And so it was like a little nook in the river, and I thought, oh, this is perfect. Now, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm like, this has got to be great. And so I kept drifting really fast by it. And I had to paddle back up, and it was wearing me out. And then it dawned on me, hey, my kayak came with an anchor. I'm like, genius, like, who thought of that, you know? And so what I did is I paddled back up, and I opened the little box where they had, you know, stored the anchor. And so I'm like, I tossed it out, and the rope, plopped into the water. Hey, you know, one thing you should know about an anchor is you got to tie it to the boat. It does not work. And, you know, there it went. And so the rest of the day, I just floated around and I didn't catch anything. And life lesson for us is this, that life will hand us troubles. And if we're not anchored to God, then it will cause us to drift into doubts and sadness and discouragement and anxiousness and hopelessness. And because we'll drift because our anchor hasn't been dropped. And so I just put this as a thought. When troubles rock your boat, hope steadies your soul. When troubles rock your boat, we need to anchor our soul to God. Recently, a friend came to me and kind of, it was a difficult conversation. And we were chatting at a coffee shop. And this friend, we'd been close for 10, 11, 12 years and traveled together and been buddies. And he came to me and he just said, "Hey, man, I love you. But God is shifting us to another church, and we just kind of had that conversation, and he's such a sweet person that, you know, I mean, he had tears in his eyes, you know, sharing this with me, and I had tears in my eyes, and it's like, you know, I'm so sad that God's, you know, leading you somewhere else, and I just was kind of grappling with that, and I don't know, like, you may not understand this, but as a pastor, you know, we fall in love with you guys. And now I know that sometimes God shifts us to different places, but that doesn't mean we don't feel that. There's a pain in that. And it's okay, you know, like God does that. So we have to learn to deal with those moments because, I mean, as much as I love Life CC, I know it's not for everybody. Like, I can't imagine why, but it's not for everybody. But this was 11-year friendship, and we've been through so much, and I felt the pull in that. And so after the conversation, he left, I was sitting there, and I began to immediately feel discouraged. And I just was sitting there, like, and having a pity party. Have you ever had your own pity party? And so I started having my little pity party with my cup of coffee, and I was like, oh, my gosh, like, oh, man, I must not be doing this right. I must not be, you know, good enough, or, you know, what's, you know, like, you know, and I just started going down. And then once you do that, the enemy goes, oh, great, I want to join your pity party. And he brings a lot of gifts to it. He brings anxiousness. He brings deeper levels of discouragement. And so he brought all these gifts to my party. And I was sitting there and I just heard God speak into my spirit. And he said, you know that verse that you're studying about an anchor to the soul, Tim? He said, Tim, you're drifting. And you're going with the flow of the current of depression and discouragement. And I felt like God just said, Tim, drop the anchor. Drop the anchor, Tim. Hurry, drop the anchor. The longer you keep the anchor in the boat, the farther you're going to drift. I feel like I was like, drop the anchor, Tim. Where is your hope? And I just, it jolted me. And I'm like, I got you. And I had it tied to my boat this time. But I dropped the anchor, and I began to remind myself. And I just felt like God began to minister to me. And I just felt like he said, hey, your buddy loves you. It's all good. He's a blessed people. People come and go. You know, it's okay to feel it. And I felt like God said, sow people. Always sow people. He's like, when you sow, you get to reap. And you know, he's like, so get over yourself. Because God said, I'm the one building the church. I'm the one in charge of this, you know, big deal going on. It's not about you. And man, before I knew it, I was sitting there going, oh, my hope is in God. And God is my Savior. And God is good. And like, it just shifted everything for me. And I just want to encourage you that when you get that bad report, or you get that negative thing that comes into your life, when you feel that discouragement come, I want you to drop the anchor. At that moment, the longer you keep the anchor in the boat, the farther you'll drift. And some of you are not like me. because I am like a person that loves to believe the best is for tomorrow. And I know, so if I can get there, people who have different personality types can go there quicker and further in a hurry. Like, for me, I'm an enthusiast. Like, everything is exciting for me. You know, if there's any tension in our staff or in our marriage or family or the kids, like, it drives me nuts until we all laugh again. You know, and so, like, that's why I tell bad jokes, to, like, please laugh with me, you know, be happy with me. I want everybody happy all the time. And so that's kind of my natural tendency to go there. I know that if I can go to discouragement just like that, there's either something inside of our makeup as humans, it's also maybe the enemy jumps in there and begins to pull us down, and he loves to pull us down. And so I just felt like God wanted me to remind all of us today that our hope is in him. And when you feel that discouragement come, when you feel that moment, be aware of the moment. Instead of letting the current drift you further and further, drop your anchor and begin to say, God is for me, God loves me, it's going to work out, God can do this, God's on my team, I'm on God's team. And you've got to be like that psalmist who said, why am I discouraged? Oh, I choose deliberately to drop the anchor and put my hope in God today. Amen? Let's illustrate it visually for just a second. I like to visually do stuff because it helps us to remember it. And so I'm going to need two people to help me. And so, John Austin Chambers, would you be my first helper? Come right up here, bro. You're going to represent somebody really strong, all right? Like, you're going to be where the anchor locks into. Okay. You're God, man. So, I don't know, this is my nephew. What a great man of God. He played football at App State. And talk about two worlds colliding yesterday. So, Eli and I have been Carolina fans forever. Like, we love the Tar Heels, but I went to App State in college. And so, like, they played each other yesterday. And so I didn't know how to cheer yesterday. I was like, I cheer. So I just picked a team, and I went with App, and App beat Carolina yesterday. So what about that? So you get to be that. I need, hey, Ryan, come here, buddy. Listen, I love you, but you get to be Troubles, all right? You're not Troubles. Okay. You're not at all. You're like my favorite, most enthusiastic young man. I love you. You're great. But you're trouble for a moment. And so here's what happens when troubles come. Come over here with me. So troubles are going to hit us, and they attach themselves to us. So start walking that way. And so what happens is troubles want to guide us around. And they want to pull us further than we ever wanted to go. And we'll start feeling places of despair when it continues to pull. Now, I don't know what your situation is. It could be a medical report. It could be, I mean, maybe you did something wrong. Maybe you blew it somewhere. I don't know what your situation is. But those feelings come in. There's also what I would call a foreboding spirit. Now, that's not a word you find in the Bible. It doesn't say foreboding spirit, but you'll recognize what I'm saying pretty quickly, because sometimes out of nowhere, for no reason, you feel like something's wrong. You'll lay down to go to sleep at night, and all of a sudden your mind will race with, like, things that are wrong, and, like, trouble's there, and something's going to happen bad, and you just feel it. And it's like the enemy just brings on this foreboding. Foreboding means that you expect something bad to happen. And so it just gets us. And so, like, comes out of nowhere and it locks in. And so what happens is we lose tons of, we, all of us, have lost a lot of sleep at night because we were being dragged around by a foreboding spirit or by an anxiety but maybe whatever it may be, a sadness that's in our life. And so we get dragged around. What we're supposed to do, just stay there, bud. What we're supposed to do, hold that for me, is be anchored nice. Now, I'm supposed to be, here, bring trouble to me. Now, I'm supposed to be anchored. So when that troubling spirit, whatever happens, comes, take a little step over there that way. But I should feel it tug, but I'm secure in my hope. I feel the pain, but I'm secure. And I want to say something to you. I don't think it's wrong for us to feel the tugs in our life. We're not supposed to be numb to our emotions. We're not supposed to be cold-hearted and people don't matter to us. We're not supposed to be people who don't feel anything. God gave you emotions for a reason. And so what they should do is tug at our heart. We look at it, we feel it, we recognize it, but we're secure in that whatever's going on over here, my God's got me. I'm anchored. And so here's the thought for us. Troubles may cause our emotions for a moment, but they don't control us ever. We're not controlled by it because we are anchored to God, anchored to His hope. Amen, church? Amen. Thank you, trouble. Thank you, God. Appreciate it.